Like to invite you, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We've waited until the 1st of February to introduce our memory verse for 2014 because of the events in January. So hopefully in your bulletin you got this little card that will help you. Put it on your mirror, take it with you in your purse, carry it in your pocket, put it in your car. And try to remember this verse, that God has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So starting next Sunday, we will be having a quiz. I'm going to see if some of you have this verse memorized by next week. Any takers that will try it for next week? You'll work on it? All right, good. I love that enthusiasm. Let's read together from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and beginning with verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Today, as we begin to look at this passage of Scripture, we're going to concentrate just on that very first section in the last part of verse 19. And I've changed the word he to God so it makes clear who we're talking about. And that part says, God has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Recently on television and on radio, Allstate Insurance has had an ad that talked about that they started their company back in 1931 in the midst of the Great Depression. The spokesman for Allstate has even mentioned in that ad that the Great Depression was not a good time to start a new company. But the reason why they feel that Allstate has been successful through the years is that they have stayed with the basics even though the economy may have fluctuated from time to time. In January, just this last month, I marked being your pastor for 2 whole years. Can you believe it? Okay. We have learned to love each other or like each other or tolerate each other. We've done a lot of good things together, and we've even made some pretty significant accomplishments in some things. But there is one thing that I see that is still wrong in our connection together as a church. Now, part of this is just my personality. I'm never satisfied with the status quo. I don't think leaders should be satisfied with the status quo, and too many of our churches today are led by people who are easily satisfied with the way things have always been. And I think that speaks a lot about our churches in America, why we're not reaching out into a new day and a new era in our country. Another part of my dissatisfaction is just what the nature of the church and the role of the pastor has become. In the midst of ministry, when there are so many things crying out for the attention of the church, not quite sure how to get involved in those, or the energies of the pastoral staff in a congregation, it's hard to stick with the basics and what the main thing ought to be that we ought to be about. And sometimes I wonder if we in the church even remember what the main thing is anymore. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. You see, even in our congregation, as good a people as we may be, we have teenagers that are doing drugs. We have marriages that are struggling. People who are mad at each other because we won't play church their way. There, some people see a shortage of money is our problem. Others, it's political realities that we face. There is abortion that needs to be stopped. Trafficking of sexual escapades that needs to be halted. There are families that need to be housed and fed. There are vans that need to be replaced. Individuals who are in the midst of health crisis, and on and on and on. All of those things crying out for our attention. There is a proverb that I memorized back several years ago when I was working through the book of Proverbs and trying to memorize the verses there. And this is Proverbs 14:4, that when the ox is at work, there is a mess to clean up, but great things happen when the ox works. Those words are true about the church as well. When we work, there is a mess to clean up, but we can accomplish much when we work together. Now, although that is true, I ask myself the question, is the church doing what God intends for us to do? If you were hired for a job and you went into work and they said, we want you to mop all the floors in this building, and before you did that, you got busy dusting all the shelves and all the books and wiping down the windows and cleaning the windowsills, and you worked very hard, and at the end of the day you said, man, I have really worked hard today. But your boss said, you didn't do what I told you to do. You were supposed to mop floors, not dust all day. Would you feel like you had been successful? And in our day, the church does many things, but there is one main thing that we are not successful at, and if we don't get back to it, we're going to miss exactly why God has left us here and gifted us and prepared us. We're not doing the main thing. I struggle because a lot of the Christians that I meet and encounter always seem to be more concerned with their self-preservation and their continual growing rather than the mandates of God. Let me say it a little plainer. It seems like nowadays Christians want to learn as much Bible as they can and be discipled as completely as they might be before they will ever do what God has commissioned us to do. Is that clear? We are more concerned with amassing knowledge and being able to answer every question and making sure we are taken care of than being on mission for God. In this movie, Facing the Giants, the coach challenges his team to get back to the basics, but also to commit themselves fully, giving all they have to their accomplishment of team goals for that year, their season. And the verses that I have selected to guide us during 2014 are verses that should help us get back to the basics. And the basic is this. Reconciliation is the primary purpose of the church. We are reconciled to God, then we become instruments of reconciliation. So let's talk about this part. God has committed the ministry of reconciliation to us. What is reconciliation? Last night, Stephanie Schaefer, Charlie Schaefer's wife, celebrated her 40th birthday. She's such a child. 40 years old with an 80s bash. And a lot of us were here. It was the social event of the season, let me tell you. Before that, the young adults gathered at my house, and we were cutting up tomatoes and onions for the nacho bar that they were going to have at the party. And they were running a little bit behind, so I told them I would help them. So I started slicing up the little onion things. And when Joyce and I got ready to leave, I smelled like one big giant onion. So we stopped at Target, and I went over to the men's cologne area. I asked a couple of the young people that I saw there, I knew them from the town, and I said, which one's the best? And they didn't have any clue. So I just picked one, sprayed it on my hand, wiped it on my face. I thought, that's probably not enough, so let me try it one more time, and did it. And then the third time, I sprayed it again, and I wiped it on my sweater I was wearing. And then with a matter of seconds, I suddenly realized I probably had overdone it. I smelled like a 13-year-old boy who had never used cologne before, and so I wanted to make sure I had enough on. You know what I'm talking about? Joyce smelled me three rows over before I could get to her over where she was. It was embarrassing. I was trying to cover up my error of onions, and thereby I pushed everybody away by my overwhelming cologne. So even when I got to the party and I just reached out to give Stephanie a little embrace, she, wow, that's pretty powerful. So what is reconciliation? It's not just covering up things. Reconciliation assumes that there has been a rupture in the relationship. There's alienation. There is disaffection that has transpired between two parties. The problem is that it is not with God that he has done something wrong and now we feel like we can't approach him. It's not that he is some cruel taskmaster and has expected too much out of us. We can't live up to it and we want to run from him. It is that we have human sinfulness that is the problem. And that sinful condition has to be dealt with if we are going to be in a relationship with God. If we're going to enjoy reconciliation, we've got to do something. Something has to happen to mend the breakage in our relationship with God. Now, sin incurs God's holy wrath. He cannot just treat it lightly or sweep it under the rug. God has to deal with sin. He can't be reconciled to sin because of his holy nature. But neither does he turn away from sinners who should just be left in their sin. God does not want to turn away from them. He doesn't want to just give them their just deserts. He longs to be in a reconciled relationship with us. But humans, while we were in open revolt against God, God has made a way to enter in relationship with us. In Romans 5:8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That is God reaching out to us, even though we don't deserve it and we're still in rebellion against God. God is seeking a relationship, a restoration with us. And it's not just the cessation of hostilities or coming to some kind of a truce with God. Okay, God, I won't mess up anymore, or I'll be better, or I'll try harder. That is not reconciliation. But it refers to a mending of the broken relationship where God, the fancy word is he justifies us or he makes us right before him through our faith and changes us from enemies of God to friends of God. If you have experienced that, would you just raise your hand? You have moved from being God's enemy to becoming God's friend. Has that happened in anybody's life? Okay, many, many in this room today. We've experienced what it means to be reconciled to God. God reconciles, but it is men and women who are reconciled to God. Reconciliation denotes that we change. We change from being his enemies to his friends. But reconciliation is what God accomplishes. It is not that I got in my room and said, you know what? Things just aren't going so well between me and God. I think I'll just be a better person. I think I'll go to church. I think I'll just kind of clean up my act and I'll try harder to be what God wants me to be. It is not me trying to accomplish reconciliation with God. It is God accomplishing reconciliation in me by giving me his grace through the death of Christ. Men and women in a sinful condition are invited to be reconciled to God, to change their attitude, to accept God's provision of grace and forgiveness. The plain meaning is this, that through Jesus Christ, God established what it takes to have a right relationship with him. He removes the barrier that keeps us from having that relationship and experiencing distance from God. He paid the price on the cross to accomplish the removal of that barrier. And then once we are reconciled, he entrusts his servants with the ministry of reconciliation so that we might share the work of Christ with others who need to be reconciled to God. And that then, my brothers and sisters, is where the breakdown occurs. We love it that God has reconciled us to himself, but we miss the fact that once we are reconciled, we then become instruments of reconciliation between others and God. Reconciliation is the primary purpose of the church. We are reconciled to God, then we become instruments of reconciliation. Now the verse says that God has committed the message of reconciliation to us. What does it mean to be committed? Now we're not talking about National Mental Health Week, where Bill leads us in the great hymn, "Come All Christians, Be Committed." That's not what we're talking about. You'll get that later when you're over lunch. We are talking about what does it mean that God has committed to us the message or the ministry of reconciliation. Well, the word there, committed, has several different layers, but it basically means this, that God has appointed that message or ministry to us. He has commissioned us with that task. He has ordained it to us, is that word. It is purposed. It actually means this, if we would translate it literally, that he has placed that message of reconciliation within us. That's the direct translation. So to say that God has committed the ministry or message of reconciliation to us, it means that God gave the ministry to the church. Those who have been reconciled have then had committed to them the ministry of reconciliation with others. God appointed Christians for the purpose of reconciliation. That is our task. That is our purpose. That is what we are about. We have been appointed unto it. We have also been ordained that those who are saved, this is our main purpose. Now, I sometimes struggle with if I'm being clear, so let me just say it right up front. There is no verse in the New Testament that says, I am ascending to the Father, so while I am away, be sure you learn as much Bible as you can. There's not a verse like that. I am going to the Father, but while I am away, be sure that you are comfortable and everything that you enjoy is taken care of while you remain. There is no verse like that. But there is a verse that says God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. There are verses that say, as you go, teach those to observe all the things I have commanded you. There are verses that give us the commission, the mandate to be on mission for God. And that then, I think, is where I wrestle with the church. We are so much concerned with our own preservation and growing in our own knowledge that we forget the mandate is to be instruments of reconciliation. Reconciliation, again, is the primary purpose of the church. We are reconciled to God, then we become instruments of reconciliation. But why should we care about this? Oh, you know, the pastor, we got to let him get up there and harp about something once in a while, so why not this? Is that why we care? No, I care because I'm scared to death about what the church is faced with in the future. I'm just old enough to remember what things used to be like and how drastically they have changed. In a recent survey, in a poll taken in our country, they were so fearful of the results that they received that they did the poll again just to make sure. And this is what they discovered. About 50% of evangelicals in America believe that many religions can lead to eternal life. If those of us who are part of evangelical churches, more than half of us, believe that other pathways can lead to eternal life, what are we doing here? 65% they found in the general population said there are many pathways to salvation. So almost as many in evangelical churches in America as those that are in the secular world believe that there are multiple ways for us to find redemption or find salvation. That means a large number of those that attend evangelical churches either misunderstand or they repudiate the message of the gospel. The New Testament reveals to us that Jesus claimed to be the only way to the Father in John 14:6. But also that the gospel of Christ is the only message that saves, according to Romans 10. If those things are true, we cannot sit in the church and say, there are multiple ways for people to experience salvation with God. The truth of the matter is, we know the only way, and it is not a process, it is a person that you must know. Jesus is not just, hey, I'll teach you the right thing so you know how to live. Jesus said, I am the way. It is knowing Christ that brings us salvation, not knowing the things of the Christian life. The situation can only be traced to the superficiality that are in many of our evangelical churches today. We are more concerned about, are we raising our hands and jumping pews and swinging from chandeliers than are we hearing the message of Jesus Christ? Christians deny to such a large extent the truth of the message of Christ. Maybe that is why the church has lost its evangelical zeal and its commitment to missionary evangelizing of those around us. And if they can find it everywhere else, let them have it. But if we think we have the only truth given to us by Jesus Christ, then we will feel a zeal. We will feel a commitment. We will feel a compulsion to share with others how they can be reconciled to God. One mainline denomination recently I saw on their marquee said this: holy baptism makes us members of the family of God. There's no mention of sin, no need for repentance, no change that must take place in our life, or even that faith has to be initiated and responded to. Their theology is this: we baptize you, baby, you are going to heaven. That's theology. I even have a friend that is a pastor of another denomination, and he tells me that all that is required for people to be saved is for them to repeat the magic formula: Jesus is Lord. I pushed him, and he says they don't even have to understand it or genuinely believe it. All they have to do is with their mouth say, Jesus is Lord. If they say those words, they are saved. And so his method of evangelism is to get as many people into his church and then do a litany that they read, repeat back and forth, so that they will say the words, Jesus is Lord, and thereby he has evangelized everyone in his congregation. There's something sad in America when Christians believe those things. Now, while we know that Jesus is the only way, we seem to be satisfied without doing visitation, whether or not we have professions of faith, or if we have significant baptisms. Now, I always have to question myself and watch myself because I don't want to come across critical. I'm just being observational. But we do not regularly or with intentionality share Christ and ask for commitments from our youth, our children, our adults, senior adults, or at outreach events. We are happy that last week we had a D-Now experience. We had several of our young people either want to deepen their walk with Christ or make decisions to accept Christ. But what are we doing the rest of the year? Is salvation just supposed to be an event? Or is it the process that the church is involved with as our ministry? We do not prepare for, nor do we teach in Sunday school with a passion to see the lost come to Christ. I would dare say that in most of your Sunday school classes, it has been a long time since you've had someone who was lost sitting in your chairs. We have missed it in the Southern Baptist life for a long time now to understand that Sunday school is to teach the Bible to win the lost as well as to develop the saved. And we are more concerned about developing the saved than we ever are about winning the lost. You remember why Sunday school started. It was to gather children into classrooms and teach them how to read by using the Bible and thereby then sharing the gospel with them that they might experience the salvation of Christ. And instead, we have turned it into amassing as much knowledge as we can in studying the Bible, and we have forgotten that we're supposed to teach the Bible to develop the saved, but also to win the lost. And the silence is deafening. I've been in ministry now over 40 years. I started very young. But honestly, I sometimes feel like ministry has become concentrated on soothing the whiners and keeping Christians happy rather than challenge the church to be on mission as God intended for us to be. I accepted God's call to ministry when I was a young man, turning my back on going into pre-med at Northwestern University, stepping away from a musical theater education, sensing that God was wanted to use me in ministry. And I did that because I thought if I committed my life to the work that God called me to, I might actually see lives changed by the overwhelming love of God. And instead, I have spent most of my last 40 years holding the hand of the terminally disgruntled. It gets rather discouraging. We have events and we fail to use them for outreach and evangelism. We will have the opportunity in the future to decide whether we will start a new church plant, perhaps in another state. We have lost people in our church that need Christ, and somehow we miss to call them to salvation. We have saved people, I presume, in our congregation, but they have never been baptized nor made a public profession of their faith, and yet they sit with us and say they are saved. When was the last time that as a church we cried for people who are lost? And we certainly do not pray for them if we can't shed a tear for their lostness. You see, reconciliation is the primary purpose of the church. And we are reconciled to God, then we become instruments of reconciliation. That's the basics. And if you could put yourself in the position of that young man on the field, blindfolded so that you wouldn't give up, challenged to make the promise that you will give your all, would you get before God and commit yourself to being a part of the ministry of reconciliation? It is not just because I need you to. It is not because I think, oh, well, we got to do something. It is because of this one verse. God has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. That is our message. That is our ministry. We have been reconciled, and we become instruments of reconciliation with others. And until we get back to that basics, we will just be playing church like 300,000 other churches in America might be in danger of playing if we do not get back to what is the mandate of the church. And in 2014, the staff is going to do everything we can to commit ourselves to it again and to challenge you to join us to be about the ministry of reconciliation. You see, God is the driving force behind wanting to redeem humanity to himself. It's his initiative. God took the step by acting through Christ's death, Christ alone, to bring about the means of forgiveness. And he continues to make that appeal to the world around us by working through our lives that have been redeemed and reconciled to God. That's his plan. It ain't a very good one, except in the wisdom of God. To think, I'm going to save some people, I'm going to change their lives, I'm going to leave them behind there for a while, hoping that they'll join me in the ministry of reconciliation. I can't sleep at night. I can't just go through my days. I can't continue to be a minister year after year. I can't just serve in a church and try to keep people happy with this ringing in my ears. God has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the main thing, my friends, is it not? And when will we take it seriously? In a few weeks, we're going to be having what we call revival meetings. We're going to have a great preacher here, from what I understand, a young man by the name of Vern Charette. He lived in Olive Branch for 3 years while he attended Mid-America Seminary. He's familiar with us. And in the providence of God, the seminary there in Fort Worth matched him with us for this revival. I think God has something in mind, do you? I think God has something in store for us. I want to be a part of it, and I want to be able to say to him, we have accepted the message that God has given us to be instruments of reconciliation. Will you join me in 2014 to make that commitment? I need your all. Don't give up on me. Don't stop at the 30-yard line. Let it burn. If it hurts, if it's hard, if it takes work, don't give up. Because one of these days we're going to fall on our faces and realize that we have made it to the end zone by being faithful to the commitment God challenged us to do. Would you pray with me? Father, my prayer today is this, that we would not only understand in our minds that this is our commission, and we would not only accept it in our hearts because we feel it is right, and that we would not be satisfied just talking about it or hearing about it, but that as a church, among all the churches around us, if nobody else will do it, we will say, Lord, we will accept the ministry of reconciliation. You've committed it to us. And by golly, we're going to do it to the best of our abilities. Help us to be faithful. In the name of Jesus, we pray.